Forgotten America now has a voice. America's Voice, Steve Gruber.
All right, continuing the conversation now with Mike Summers from the American Petroleum Institute. He's the CEO in Michigan from D.C. to look at energy issues, meet with several different people. As we talked about, Mike, the Alaska pipeline, I've walked parts of it. You have as well.
I have.
I was on my way to a moose hunt when I went by. I shared you a picture during the break there. A successful moose hunt. But to look at it and realize that helicopters are flying that entire length twice a day, every day, 365 days a year is impressive. It's looked after well. Pipelines have proven to be the most efficient and safest way to move energy. There's no question. So there's a big battle in Michigan. You've probably heard about it, about Line 5. Now, this goes on all over the country, but I'll use Line 5 as an example of these arguments over pipelines. It runs from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan to the Lower Peninsula. It moves energy back and forth, propane, oil, all sorts of things back and forth. And so some people didn't like it, so Enbridge stepped up and said, I'll tell you what, Enbridge being the big energy company out of Canada, said we'll spend $500 million of our own dollars, build a pipeline, put it 100 feet beneath the bottom of the Straits of Mackinac so the Great Lakes are always protected. And yet they're still being attacked. It's incredible.
This is a pipeline that has never had an incident.
Ever.
Ever. And what Enbridge is trying to do is actually build a pipeline to replace a pipeline that is very safe with a pipeline to appease those that want it to be even safer. $500 million invested into the Michigan economy. That's jobs for Michiganders. That is of course, an incredible benefit to particularly the people in the UP who depend on that propane source from that pipeline. And then, of course, everyone in the Lower Peninsula as well. So the very idea that this is even controversial is overwhelming, I think, to all of us.
Shocking to me as well, and shocking to a lot of people. In fact, a bipartisan pushback against it. The Democrats in the Upper Peninsula say, we support the pipe.
Absolutely.
The new tunnel, I will. Not the pipe, but the tunnel, right? But you get pushback all over. No matter how well you behave as an industry, you know, my father used to say some people are just born with a pinched nerve and there's nothing you can do their entire lives to make them happy. That seem about right? They're just going to be mad and stomp their feet, be mad no matter. So you can build the tunnel, they don't care. You can lower emissions, they don't care. You can close coal plants in favor of natural gas plants, they don't care. They're still going to complain about energy and global climate change, disruption, warming, or whatever they call it today. The environmental problem. America, again, the cleanest, greenest place on earth. And our emissions are going down. It's in part because of what the energy sector is doing, right? I mean, you're doing the right thing.
It's almost entirely because of what the energy sector is doing. You've seen this switch from coal to natural gas, which is 50% cleaner. And as a consequence of that, the United States leads the world in emissions reductions. But what we've seen, and this is particularly true with Line 5, is that what the activists have figured out is that they can't beat America on the supply side. They can't beat the world on the demand side because demand is only going to increase by 50% between now and 2050. So what the activists really focus on is the hose in the middle. They try to step on pipelines in the middle of this process and prevent people from getting that
supply. But to what end? That's my question. To what end? Do they want us to sit in the dark? Because it's the darkening. We need energy. And it's interesting to me, you've got iPhones and computers and televisions and tablets and all of this energy everywhere. Which has become more efficient, by the way, because you have LED and LCD and all these different technologies that make it use less energy, goes even farther every day, and yet they still want you to cut back.
Oh, that's absolutely true. And that's one of the things that we do at the American Petroleum Institute is we try to fight back against some of those activists. We're trying to prevent Americans from receiving the safest, most reliable, and by the way, the most sustainable way to receive your energy through these pipelines.
Well, that's right, because when it comes to energy density, mm-hmm. which most people don't talk about. Energy density, fossil fuels, if that's what you'd like to call them, be it coal, natural gas, oil, has better energy density than any alternative. Wind and solar can't hold a candle to it, if you will.
Well, that's true. I mean, we know that wind and solar and other so-called renewables will be part of the energy mix going forward. But for the American people who are continuing to demand inexpensive energy that is also, we have this dual challenge. How do you provide energy in an inexpensive way, but that is also environmentally sustainable? So who can do that the best? I would argue, and I think most statistics show, that it really is natural gas that can deliver that kind of energy.
Well,
so we're focused on it. And I think the American people, when they wake up to the fact that people are trying to increase their energy costs are going to wake up to it as well.
Well, you look north of the border here in Ontario, where they got rid of all their coal-fired power plants, and the electrical bill, the electric bills in Ontario have gone up five times in just the last 5 years.
We don't even have to look to Canada. Look to the Northeast, where you can't build a pipeline between Pennsylvania, which is one of the most prolific natural gas fields in the world.
Energy rich.
Energy rich. And the number two energy producing state in our country. You look at Pennsylvania, you can't build a pipeline to the Northeast. And what's the consequence been? 2 years ago, during a really rough winter, they had a Russian natural gas tanker in Boston Harbor delivering energy. Where
that's insanity.
100 miles away, you have the most prolific oil field in the world.
Completely insane.
It's insane.
It is insane.
But the same thing could happen in the Upper Peninsula if we're not careful.
Well, that's
right. We can't deliver these resources.
And Enbridge is doing, and I think they'll make their way through it. I do, because Enbridge is a company that's been environmentally responsible and smart and worked with the state and brought in the workers to build the tunnel. We'll all be Michigan residents, by and large. So they've done everything right. Mike Summers, the CEO of the American Petroleum Institute. And somebody's listening right now, and they say, you know, I want to know more about what you guys are doing, whether it's with oil or natural gas or pipelines or renewables, any of it. What should they do?
Well, we'd love for them to go to our website, api.org, where you can learn a lot about the American energy renaissance, the American energy revolution. We're so proud of that. But go to api.org to learn more about this industry.
Now, I really appreciate you coming in here today. I do. And we talk energy a lot on the program, but it's nice to have somebody here that knows as much as you do, Mike, and to be able to share with the listeners. And, of course, there's also all the jobs that are available, whether it's North Dakota or New Mexico or Michigan, where there's 40,000 jobs in the energy sector. These are important, and not just jobs, careers. So, Mike, thank you for being here.
Steve, great to be with you.
Greatly appreciate it. It is the 17th of October. We're going to take a quick break, come back with some final thoughts for hour number two. Don't go anywhere.
Continuing on our audio tour of Pioneer product development, today I'm at the Napoleon Soybean Research Center in Northwest Ohio. There are four large structures, and of course, the field around it. I'm in the field now, under an umbrella. I don't mind getting wet, but we've got recording equipment to worry about. Weather, soil conditions, diseases, pests, every location is different. Which is exactly why Pioneer built this center and almost 50 like it all over the country. In fact, Pioneer has the most extensive soybean breeding and testing program in the industry. This allows Pioneer to develop varieties for just about every local condition. The Soybean Research Center in Napoleon. Another place that makes Pioneer, Pioneer. You'll hear more from me later. For now, let your local Pioneer sales representative hear from you.